That is Tim Miller live on his, is that a Telecaster you're playing with there?
Yeah. No, that's John Bonamassa. One of Drew's favorites. Nice. I figured I had, you know, played Dancing Queen, I probably should play something anyways.
Right. Just little yin, little yang.
Yeah. Or not.
Or not.
Yeah.
Superfoods. Wow. It's guilt and shame. When I think of how maybe I haven't focused so many years, I didn't spend thinking
lack
about...
Lack of knowledge?
You know what? It is. It's lack of knowledge, and this is why documentary film, and this is why diving into these things is so important.
Well, it's amazing how science keeps changing its mind.
Well, that's true.
That's the other challenge.
I was in Indigo last night, and there I had a book in my hand that I think I'm going to get for somebody, at least maybe me, this Christmas. I like to buy gifts for myself at Christmas, actually. I find that really gracious and generous.
That just makes sense.
It does. Yeah. It does. It makes a whole lot of sense. But I think it's like 100 things that science got wrong or something like that.
They keep changing their mind. I remember when we first, our first kid, within the 6 months of having our daughter, science went from getting on formula as soon as you can to stay breastfeeding as long as you can. And it was like, what do we do?
It's, and huge impact.
Mm-hmm.
Serious stuff.
I remember listening to Malcolm Gladwell. I loved his revisionist history podcast. Not as good as yours, of course.
Thanks, David. Tim. Appreciate that. And what
is that one again?
Podcast? It's Face to Face.
There we go. Yeah.
And Face to Face Live, and it's the number, face2facelive.ca. Don't forget it. We just published our 403rd interview,
it's
man.
It's almost like Prince wrote your podcast title there. With the
numbers. Come on, 403 interviews.
That's awesome, man.
That's a lot of interviews.
But I remember Gladwell did this thing about French fries and McDonald's and how some guy had a heart attack and he went on this big thing about animal fats not allowed to be used anymore, and then everybody went to vegetable fats. And it turns out in the long run that apparently vegetable fats are a lot worse for us to be fried than animal fats.
Interesting. That's why I just eat, you know, a lot of crispy crunches. It's the way to go.
Yes. Power food.
I'm pretty sure I've put already, but I read a stat recently that said more Halloween candies eaten before Halloween than actually after Halloween, which is hilarious. It's all the stuff you buy. Steve Norton is here today. He's a pastor. He's a storyteller. He's a podcaster, film aficionado. He's also a host, a hostess, maybe even screenfish.net. And it's like it sound, screen fish.net. And he's going to be, Tim, what do we call him? A recurring guest? A returning guest. He's going to be with us over the next three Saturdays.
Recurring
nightmare, maybe. Yeah, that's going to be
Depends how this goes, I guess.
The name of his first film, Recurring Nightmare.
Recurring Nightmare.
Steve loves film, and he's here to talk about movies, about screenfish.net. And before we get into, you know, I hear you spent some time at the Toronto International Film Festival. I want to hear the Viggo Mortensen story, if you got one, or some story. You
got about Viggo Mortensen, man.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I saw Lady Gaga. I was walking across Front Street. It was hilarious. And there's, you know, at the festival, I don't know if you've
been. Did you poke her face?
I don't know if you've been. Tim before, but you walk and all of a sudden you see this.
He didn't get it.
No.
He didn't get
no,
it.
No, I'm sorry, man. Right. It's over my head or under my head, something like
that's
that.
That's okay. Just dance. It'll be okay.
And their crowds will form.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't know why, and you kind of walk up. So who are we seeing? And somebody said, I think it's Lady Gaga. And it's just so funny. No, and people are holding up their phones, hoping to get a glimpse of somebody. So
that's
the
best part. People putting up their phones, and they have no idea. They just start taking pictures just in case just somebody
in
actually
case
recognized.
It's somebody.
And then the conversation is, who was that?
Yeah.
No idea.
I don't know who that was.
Well,
Viggo's
supposed to be like a really super smart dude. He speaks like 5 languages, 6 languages.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
Actually, he's pretty impressive as a humanoid. Aside from his acting.
Somebody was at TIFF, sent me a picture, and it was of him and some. I guess it was for the Green Book.
Green Book film they were doing. Yeah.
And they said, hey, do you know who this is? And I came back, are you kidding me? This is Lord Aragorn. How is that? This is ridiculous.
How can you
not know who this is? Yeah.
You mean the guy from Eastern Promises?
Steve, why do you love movies so much? Why do you love film? What is it about movies that draws you in and you write about it? Tell us, and also maybe tell us a bit about Screenfish.
I guess the way to start with that, too, is that I do love film, but what I love more is story. I mean, because I think it's story that connects us, and it's so many things, you know. When we talk about story, everybody has one, and everybody either wants to share one or is willing to share it in the right context. And that's what I love about film, because it is one of the best ways for us to understand the voice, the stories that our culture finds important. And a lot of times they get written off, you know, in some way. Oh, well, that's just a popcorn flick, or, oh, that's mm-hmm. Oscar fare. I'm not really interested in that. But what we lose sight of the fact is that every film not only has a story, well, there are some that have very little story, but every film, mm-hmm. every show, every book, every piece of medium that we have has a worldview and wants to communicate that in some way or another.
Are they ever just movies for you?
I can enjoy them. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I remember I've had this conversation with my own family many, many times, and not even just with my own family, but, you know, people I know, and they say, oh, man, I just can't wait to go back to a theater and turn my brain off.
Right.
And that phrase irks me to no end. Now, I can go in and enjoy a film. Like, okay, I like Marvel movies. And, you know, Marvel movies are a blast. They're a riot.
Are you a Marvel guy or a DC guy? Because I think that could change the tone of our conversation.
I'm a DC guy, but their movies have not been very good in the last mm-hmm. 5 years. Like, let's admit it, other than a couple of hits.
Other
like
than
Wonder
Christopher
Woman
Nolan's take on Batman, really? Can we even, you know, anyway.
Whoa. don't throw Wonder Woman under the bus, okay?
Well, that's true. Fair enough.
But, I mean,
Still trying to figure a few things out. That's all I'm saying.
I like Aquaman. He looks pretty hunky.
I
like him much better than when I grew up with the orange top, the black
he's gonna wear it.
And the green
they showed
tights.
In the trailer. Right. He's got the orange and green.
No. See,
they gotta have it in there.
Read
like a
Marvel
statue
comics.
For most of the stinking trailer.
Marvel comics were just so much cooler.
Oh,
come
man.
On! They're superheroes.
Depends on who
cool.
you talk to.
I was always about bats and, you know, not the animal, but always about Batman and Superman.
Right.
You know, the DC characters. I loved them. It was very few good representations. They really only focused on the main two.
I actually heard somebody say recently, I was on a trip to, which we're going to hopefully hear more about in a couple weeks' time, but a trip to Bangladesh, and we got into a DC Marvel argument. Northern Bangladesh, Tagurugan, this guy Paul and I, and he was Mr. DC. I'm like, no, there's no way. And he was arguing they're more human. The DC superheroes are more human.
I don't know about that.
So are they ever just film? Is there always meaning to be found?
I think there's always meaning to be found. I think that we're not always looking for it.
Do we turn our brains off? Can you actually do that?
You can't, but you think you can.
Right, okay.
I think that no matter what you are going to see, you know what? You guys just did an interview on Superfood, and I'm listening to you guys, and I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm probably going to grab takeout on the way home, so this is bad for me.
It is bad for you.
So I've turned my brain off on that. No, I'm sorry. But I'm serious.
But you can't not now know, right? To some degree.
I can't, because I've heard it. I heard that truth about superfoods and about the health. So if I'm just ignoring if I go to that, I think film and television, all that stuff's the same way. I'm not even saying it's good or it's bad in terms of the messages. What I'm saying is it has.
I don't think you can turn your brain off, because I mean, there are films that I would like to forget.
Because they were bad, or because they had an impact, horrible.
Some of those DC films.
Well, movies that impact me on a positive level, I don't want to forget them. Have been films that I just. Sure. It was Nightlander 2.
Oh, what on earth
don't
are you talking
know it.
About?
I have
Nightlander?
No
Night, Highlander?
Highlander.
Highlander, that was
Highlander 2?
I was thinking
Nightlander,
of Captain Highlander.
Pilot, actually.
The Highlander? Is that it?
Highlander.
Yes.
Highlander.
The first one was pretty good.
With Sean Connery?
The second one was horrible. It's probably the only movie I've ever walked out on.
Wow.
In my life.
Yeah, and you know what? That's an interesting... I've walked out on a few films before, and it's you don't see it too often, but I have to say it is kind of an empowering thing if it's a statement,
yeah.
right? You're stepping yeah. into this choice. I guess what I was trying to get to in a way is that there... I don't know. I'd like to think there's meaning to be found everywhere, even in a horrible film like Highlander 2, if I haven't seen it, I don't think. But... we can't turn our brains off. So are we still being taught things? That's the thing, right? So we say, oh, I'm going to go in and it's just popcorn fare, as you say, or fluff. And I'm just going to enjoy myself. But there's still, you know, lifestyle advertising, you know, watching TV, seeing ads on YouTube. Yeah. We're still picking things up, you know, story, meaning, about faith, about each other and about gender differences and all kinds of things, right? It's there.
Well, everything has a worldview and everything's a product of its own culture. That's one of the things I actually will defend, say, remakes. For example, you want to go back and watch three different versions of A Star Is Born. They're all, like, you look back at the one of the Judy Garland one, it is going to reflect the time and the moment that it was made. And there may be some things that story-wise connect it, but they are different. They are different. There are things that are different about it. And when you look at what we are not is we're not critical. And I don't necessarily mean like this was good or this was bad. I mean, we're not present enough.
So what do you want to
where
have?
God's
do you,
working in those
do
things.
You want to have a conversation as a family on the drive home from Mission Impossible? Is that what you're asking for?
Oh, that's the best. Yes. No, absolutely.
Tom, save the world again.
Have you seen the new one, Tim?
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's great.
Number six.
Yeah, it's really good.
That's the only franchise like I can actually say. Like, it's so rare to see a franchise that seems to improve itself six films in right. and 25 right. years into it. It's yeah, crazy. It's
well, the first one was excellent.
That's what I mean.
Me on, yeah.
But other than, you know, a couple of missteps here and there, the film, like, there's no reason to accept that a film that's 25 years or that 25 years into a franchise should be making more money and getting better with the same people. Anyway.
So
but yeah, I do agree with that. I would like to have those conversations.
Yeah,
that's when
sure.
it becomes relevant. It's when it's this.
And this is your interest in TIFF and in
absolutely.
Oscar contenders and Marvel Universe mm-hmm. versus DC and story and all of that. And how does that impact Screenfish? Tell us a little bit about that. And there's a group of writers. It's US, it's Canada, it's a global audience. Mm-hmm. You're interviewing people and so on. What's the driving force sort of behind Screenfish?
Well, the driving force behind Screenfish is that we want to get to, or we want to have conversations that are deeper than just about whether or not something is good, because these are the stories that bind us. You know, you're going to go see probably the next big release. You and I were talking before, go and see Bohemian Rhapsody. You know, like, that's a big film, all right? It's a big film coming out. We're going to see the film. But there's two ways you can view something. Is you can watch it and then just sit in your car and drive away. Or you can sit back and really sort of digest mm-hmm. on what it means. And I'm not saying, you know, sitting there with the gavel and judging it. I'm talking about what is the film trying to tell you about the way the world works, the way that life works. And as a pastor, I think that opens the doors tons for conversations about faith, about truth, about what is real. And I think a lot of times, you know, growing up in the church, a lot of times we've sold ourselves short on these things because we say, that's bad. We separate ourselves. I loved listening to Michael on the way in talking about
back,
the sacred space. We're right back
everything's
there.
Everything's connected, eh?
It's so
sacred,
true.
The sacred-secular divide, yeah.
Because a lot of times, you know, growing up, and I'm all for things like checking content, all stuff. I'm protective of what my kids watch, all that sort of thing. But if you want to have a conversation with someone, you got to find something that connects you. And if you and I both go see Bohemian Rhapsody, it doesn't mean if we saw it together or not. We both have an opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
So can that be a door for open
right.
and greater conversation? That's what Screenfish is all about, is trying to engage our culture and look at it from a mindset of where is God's truth and what is the most spiritual in those moments.
So I think it was a guy by the name of Quentin Schultz who said, and I'm going to try to paraphrase this, and it's kind of clever and fun in its own way, the things that seem to teach the most teach the least. and the things that seem to teach the least teach the most. And he was talking about film, and he was talking about TV. So the sense, so this idea of shutting your brain off and down, going in and just enjoying the film, yeah, you can do that, but the reality is you're still getting a message. Yep. Something is still being imposed, or a worldview is being presented in a particular way, and so on. And so you're saying all the more reason to at least reflect on that in some way, shape, or form.
100%.
And is that, as a pastor, is that what you teach your, I was going to say your pastorettes? What are your congregation?
Pastorettes?
Sorry.
We have a chorus line, actually.
Da, right.
Da, 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 da. No,
yeah, the pastorettes.
The pastorettes.
Writing the news.
Do you have an 8x10 I can get? The pastorettes, when we got interrupted. Tell me more about this troupe.
Well, you know, it's funny, you were talking about before about, you know, about teaching, and one of the things that's been really neat, talk about the things that engage us in opening space for conversations. A few years ago, our church let me, you know, have a film night. All churches, you know, a lot of churches have film nights, and have a small group conversation afterwards. One of the things that we tried to do originally is we were trying to reach millennials, because, you know, we talk about the ones that are most engaging screens all the time, you know, and this just constant.
As so, I look around at the two millennials in the room.
Who's staring at screens.
Staring at screens, yeah. Nice. Busted.
And I think the movie I picked at the time was like Iron Man 3 or something like that. And expecting all of these 25 to 40-year-olds to show up and watch this film. And we had 30 people that first time. And about half of them were under the age of 20.
Wow.
And the other half of them were over the age of 50. And I sat there just in shock. And I actually, at first, I was mad because I thought, well, this was, we missed our target. This was not what we were trying to do. But what happened was incredible, because afterwards, we broke up into these groups to talk. And I assigned the groups so that the kids didn't stay in one and the adults weren't in the other. And we mixed them up. And what you had was, you had 30 people in a room that had shared a same experience together. And we're engaging it together. So we're talking about Iron Man and, you know, asking questions about it and trying to get to the deeper meanings of identity and in the particular film that's really sort of exploring the relationship between Tony Stark and Iron Man and how they interact with one another. And then bringing it into scripture.
See,
and
you really
sort of
are a
things.
Marvel guy. I'm sorry.
I'm saying the Marvel films, all right? Anyway.
See, I've heard people describe it, DC have much deeper backstories.
Yeah.
Whereas Marvel's a little more surface. Not to say one's better than the other, but usually one's a little more, little easier to get into quickly.
DC doesn't have a Robert Downey Jr. I'm sorry.
You know what? They could if they had better scripts.
Awesome. Yeah. Or
DC
money.
Doesn't have the script writers, although they just got James Gunn, so that's another story.
So Adam McGoyan said movie houses are the cathedrals of our time. Is that what you're getting to? Is this a church... Is this a church event? So you separate into these groups and you're chatting. I love that you're talking. You're using a film like Iron Man 3 to go deeper, right?
Yeah.
Of course it does, and I think it kind of proves your point about that the deeper meeting and the conversation on the drive home with the family from the theater. Is that what this is about? That this is, you know, this is church. This is an opportunity to I don't know, build community or to go a little deeper.
Oh, absolutely. What Screenfish is all about is trying to engage each other, but starting with the culture, because so and we think honestly that it's something that we can do in the culture, like it's not just a church ministry, you know. It's not like, oh, it's only Christians that we're trying to speak to. In fact, what I found is that faith backgrounds have become increasingly irrelevant, because it's the stories that bind us, and out of those stories we can have greater conversations. We had a fantastic one a few years later about Wonder Woman. Thank you.
Nice.
And in that particular podcast, you know, one of our guests was somebody that said, you know, I don't really subscribe to any form of mythology at all. And I said, that's fine. You know, we want to engage this film. The other person was a pastor, and but the film was engaging the nature of evil. So we got into a conversation about how do you think evil develops into our culture? And so we were having this, it was a conversation that led to a deeper place, but started in a safe space. And, you know, we think that Screenfish is an opportunity for those conversations to be had all over the place with just about anybody.
Yeah, I'm stuck on the mythology comment. So the deeper meaning there was I don't buy into story.
One of the comments that she was trying to get at, I believe, is that she was trying to say, she had no connection with the church.
I see.
We were having this conversation.
Got it.
You had the two pastors. She's an actress. She's just wonderful. Absolutely love the conversations that we've had with her. She's been on a couple times. She's great. And she said, I don't really subscribe to anything. I said, that's fine. That's totally safe in this conversation. We're not trying to pressure into that.
Is there, I think we're coming to the end of the show. I can't believe this. Like, I mean, not only the end of our conversation, but the end of the whole show. Tim,
it's 4 or 5 minutes.
It's going to be hard to leave you at the door today, man. It's
all right.
Heartbreaking.
Okay.
Is there truth in fiction?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. You have to be willing to engage it. And I think you have to be willing to seek what it is. Sometimes fiction hits you over the head with it. You get a film that
gets
preachy. Yeah. It's moralizing and gets there. But it doesn't matter if it's trying to do that or not.
Mm-hmm.
There absolutely is, and I believe that God's kingdom is breaking in all everywhere.
And art can be an example. It can also be a warning. And it's often the warnings that speak deeper and challenge us more, I find.
Oh, yeah. My
That was...
For me, that was pretty intense.
That was P profound.
Man. Oh, no, totally, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think there is, too. So, as we sort of wrap this up, and I'm hoping maybe next week we can get into... I want to talk about a few particular gems for you this year, maybe a couple surprises at TIFF.
We
didn't even get to TIFF, but what have you seen in the last little while that's still in the theater? I'm hoping we can maybe talk about First Man, but Star Is Born's getting an awful lot of press. Is it worth it?
I really enjoyed it. It's we podcasted on it actually, and we have a biweekly podcast. And we podcasted on that a couple of weeks ago. And we all thoroughly enjoyed it. It's a melodrama, but it's done really, really well. And the soundtrack is killer. One of the things I'm afraid of with Bohemian Rhapsody is I want the film to be good because the soundtrack, not just because the soundtrack's good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed Star Is Born far more than I expected I would.
Okay, interesting, yeah.
Sort of, it caught me off guard there. First Man it's very good. It's a little jarring in spots. You and I can talk about
in a good or a bad way.
Have you seen either of these?
Is it because he wasn't as mythically wonderful as we thought he was?
No. See, I like that. I
does
love a fallen hero.
Totally. Yeah.
Does he land on the moon? Is there a twist
in
this?
Spoiler alert. He misses.
The boat sinks. Jack dies. Sorry.
It's actually a prequel to The Martian. It's actually a prequel. Find out it's Matt Damon the whole time. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the reveal. The reveal. Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, and there's Tom Cruise ripping the mask off. How did that happen?
I don't get out to theaters much anymore. I really want to see Bohemian Rhapsody.
Well, do you know what's kind of cool now about Netflix? Netflix is making, and we're going to talk about this. I think too. They're making some beautiful stuff.
And like Hollywood major productions, right?
And there's a couple that were at TIFF that are the 22nd of July that just came out. Annihilation was there last year. You got to see
Annihilation. Are you a sci-fi fan? At TIFF? No, it wasn't.
I thought it was a couple. I don't think so. Last year.
Don't fight, boys.
Yeah,
save it for the podcast.
Have you seen Annihilation?
No, I haven't. No, actually. What was that one about?
Are you a sci-fi guy?
Is that the one with
Natalie Portman?
Yes, I have seen it. Yeah
it's really, for sure. Really interesting.
Well, the interesting thing is North America is only now figuring out what England was doing right all along. They've never had a problem with their film and television artists going from one to the other.
Mm,
for the longest time, it was like, oh, you do TV.
Oh, I know. I know it's coming up, and there's a movie that I'm really looking forward to seeing before, I hope, the end of the year. It's called Roma, Alfonso Cuarón's film, and it's a black and white, and it's in Spanish, I believe, and they're actually saying, oh, it's released on Netflix, and we're not sure if it's going to be an Oscar contender, and the thing, Anyway, it's just kind of interesting how everything's changing, and what a nice way to sort of to wind down. Steve, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Everything is changing. It's all in flux. And you can find that out at your local theater. You can find that out on the Drew Marshall Show and even the David Peck Show for at least 3 weeks. I'll be back on the 10th and the 17th. And Tim, mm-hmm. thanks for, you know, being with
no
me
problem.
Here today. And
it was a bit of a crazy start.
It
but
was
we
a
got
bit
it.
Of a crazy start, but I think we nailed it. And,
yeah.
and
I'm not here next week. Shauna will be riding the board next week. These two lovely ladies will be here as well.
Excellent. Good.
I'm at a powwow. Yeah.
Cut
my
and
very
we
first
now
powwow
cut,
ever.
We now cut to the shot of Drew Marshall sitting in a lawn chair somewhere in the Swiss Alps smoking a pipe.
No, he's actually in Greece.
Oh,
right.
He's in Greece.
So
sorry.
He's
sorry,
throwing.
Drew.
He's throwing plates and pottery into fireplaces and going. Opa.
Yeah, maybe he's reclining in Plato's Park.
Oh, or maybe just playing with Plato.
Maybe, yes.
Yeah, who knows?
Different spelling. Thanks a lot for joining us today in the Drew Marshall Show. It's been a pleasure.